Hello and welcome to another edition of our Patreon, mostly short-form series of audio essays, Tripping Through the Tarot. I'm your co-host of the Science Witch podcast, Angel, and for this episode, we're going to talk about the first numbered card of the tarot, number one of the major arcana, the Magician. The Magician, in the Smith Rider-Waite deck, depicts a figure dressed in robes, holding up a rod in their right hand and pointing to the ground with their left hand. Before them, laid out on a table, are all four of the suits of the tarot represented by cups, wands, pentacles, and swords. At their feet flourishes an abundance of lilies and roses, which also make up the foreground above them. Directly above the magician's head is the infinity symbol. The magician is a card that corresponds with manifestation and enacting one's will upon reality. It is a card associated with standing in one's power and self-actualizing your creative intentions into reality through the use of the four elements and the alchemical occult wisdom. It's a card of possibility, like the Fool, but with more circumspect will and focus than a Fool. The Magician seeks to align action and intention to create magic, which is to change reality in accordance to one's will. The first step towards this process is believing and realizing one's personal power, and then to gather the resources and connections needed to actualize one's will upon reality. I like to describe tarot to people who are unfamiliar as a tool for communicating with the ambient consciousness of the universe, however that uniquely manifests for the person asking the cards. There's a whole discussion that is documented in the literature on whether consciousness is inherent only to living brain tissue or exists as a transient property of the universe. But I like to find wonder in the idea that there are specific allies that exist for every querent that comes to the cards with a question seeking guidance, insight, or advice. My approach is to keep one foot in the realm of skepticism and the other in belief and enjoy the liminal space in between. Also, I find that the more randomization you introduce to the cards, the stronger the synchronicity signal. This may be peeking a bit behind the curtain, but I have always gotten good results in my career as a tarot reader with this premise for every reading. I don't ascribe that I'm particularly witchy or mystical, but how I have an openness for the process and enjoy introducing tarot as something anyone can use. It does take a certain amount of study and familiarity with the cards, but the archetypes and transpersonal experiences it occasions I stand by as something that is my true will in this incarnation to share with my community. Manifesting one's true will is often troubled by late-stage capitalism. To be creative in the face of all of our society's barriers to achieving financial security takes a lot of courage. Many of us steal time away to work on creative pursuits that feed our soul and light up our minds from the corporate income-generating churn that demands the majority of our waking lives. Those of us who have managed to make income from our creative endeavors are in a constant race against the profit motives of whatever revenue source demands, or have our creative work and legacy stolen, plagiarized, or replaced by AI. The gig economy, side hustles, and relentless income inequality and crushing weight of capitalism predisposes us to be exhausted, passive consumers that feed the corporate profits while we are starved for meaning. True will is a privilege few seem to have the ability to manifest. If creative pursuits can't generate money or viral attention, they often have to be discarded or reallocated to lower priorities, and those who get to fully pursue these endeavors are often not the queer, witchy, artsy, creative folk that I call my kith and kin. I am very protective of my friends' creative pursuits. If I bring you into my circle and count you as one of my trusted friends, I am 100% supporter of your art and performance. I will cheer and fangirl to an embarrassing degree in an effort to encourage my friends to not give up their creativity no matter what. I ascribe to the philosophy of The Artist Way by Julia Cameron, in that we humans are the closest to our divine selves when we are involved in an act of creation. Whatever that creative impulse might be, stand-up comedy, running D&D, podcasting, every act of creation is sacred. To uplift, inspire, and enrich the creative community around oneself is part of the great work. It doesn't matter how talented you perceive yourself to be or what others think of your art. What is of primary importance is that the practice of enacting your creative will upon reality, even if your art never receives the recognition and notoriety that would deem it successful. While you are alive, once you release your creative intentions on the universe, there is no way to know what reverberations your art will have on future generations or people you will never meet. In order to harness that creative will, we have to nurture the inner artist, which is also our inner child. In the artist way, Cameron advocates for unblocking our creativity by reparenting ourselves and showing tender self-compassion for our inner child. This can be involved in re-scripting a time in our memories when we were discouraged from pursuing our art and being the loving parent or grown-up we ourselves needed in that moment to feel safe and supported. This can be a powerful and profound way to heal some of the deepest wounds inflicted upon ourselves so that we can connect with our inner child. Once we have met our inner artist, the next step towards unlocking our creativity is to guard our time to be creative. This is, of course, very challenging for those of us who have full-time jobs, families, and lots of obligations that constantly vie for our attention. But this is the time we must carve out to write the book we always wanted to write, to learn to paint with watercolors, to fulfill the passions that fascinate us and pull us back to our divine selves. The commitment to pursue our creative will requires sacrifice and dedication to keep practicing our art despite the many other obligations, distractions, and demands on us. It requires prioritizing a dedicated amount of time and then guarding it from any interlopers that would seek to dissuade, demean, or distract from practicing our art. My favorite occult author on the topic of ceremonial magic is Damien Eccles. I appreciate how he can take these erudite occult topics and make them accessible and perceivable by modern audiences, all while speaking in a soothing Southern accent that I recognize and identify as familiar. His path to becoming a respected ceremonial magician is one forged in some of the most adverse circumstances that a human being can face, and his 17 years spent on death row for a heinous crime he did not commit shaped his practice in ways that he now shares in his writing and teaching. Damien is one of the West Memphis Three, made famous by the HBO documentary Paradise Lost, that chronicles the wrongful conviction of three teenage boys from West Memphis, Arkansas, during the height of the Satanic Panic. Damien, along with Jason Baldwin and Jesse Miss Kelly, were convicted of the murder of three young boys in 1994, despite the lack of physical evidence linking them to the crime and the rampant police misconduct and mishandling of the case. At the time of the initial murders, many police departments were fixated on manufactured claims of satanic ritual abuse, and Damien and his two friends fit the profile of Satanists, as depicted by the sensationalist panic of the day. They listened to heavy metal music, were interested in the occult, and wore black trench coats. Most detrimental to their credibility was the fact each of the accused came from a lower economic background and therefore lacked access to competent lawyers to defend their case, and would have most likely ended up spending the rest of their lives in prison for a crime they did not commit were it not for the determined grassroots organization that sprang up to challenge the verdict. It took 17 years, with endorsements and support from celebrities such as Johnny Depp and Eddie Vedder, but in 2011, each of the West Memphis Three were released on a plea that essentially negated any requirement of the state of Arkansas to admit wrongdoing, but still commuted their sentences as time served. Eccles' memoir, Life After Death, is a harrowing and candid description of his time on death row and how he was able to transmute the most despicable treatment and profound suffering into a crucible for him to practice ceremonial magic. For Damien, practicing these rituals wasn't just for scholastic achievement or occult cred, it was the salvation of his very soul from the depraved and desperate human condition that constantly sought to consume him. His description of performing the lesser banishing ritual of the pentagram to this day is my favorite explanation of this ritual, and he would perform it to protect him from the deranged and harmful energies of the tortured souls he had to be around, as well as the many indignities and cruelties that were inflicted on him by the prison guards. Through the use of this simple ritual, as well as meditation techniques from Buddhism, Damien was able to manifest his true will of being released from prison and is now a world-famous author, teacher, and activist for prison reform. When I start to feel despair or depression about the fact that my creative endeavors are not profitable enough and pressure to be able to enact my true will is too difficult. I think about Damien and all he had to face, and it helps buoy me to the tempestuous churn of late-stage capitalism. To be the magician is an act of resistance in the face of all of our modern society confronts us with, in order to steal our power, attention, and will. To practice our art is sacred, and how we connect to our divine selves. This is a reminder that each time we find all the reasons to not continue to enact our true will, to give up on our dreams, to lose touch with the magic that ignites us, that we must stand in our power, draw in our resources, and begin again in our great work. The magician is an invitation to envision a life we want to live and enact the steps necessary to manifest that life. It represents our connection to our divine selves, and as the spiritual aphorism goes, as above, so below, as within, so without. When we create, we engage in the universe knowing itself through our individual human lives, and in that, true magic ensues. Thank you for listening to this episode of Tripping Through the Tarot. If you like what you heard and want to hear more, check out the Science Witch podcast on Patreon for more bonus episodes. As always, live long and prosper, and blessed be.